Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force with football here, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sports book industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 1-800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You receive 125% sign-up bonus by using bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses. Also, BetUS is known among America's favorite sportsbook for lots of reasons. Bet on team and player props, loads of NFL futures, UFC matches, PGA golf, live betting on most sports. The online casino has hundreds of games. The Racebooks has all the horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. Bet US.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Welcome back. Second hour of Southern Sports Today. The Chuck Oliver Show. I'm Drudy Armand sitting in for Chuck Oliver. It was a quick first hour. Time flies, as I said, when you're having fun. We're going to have more fun. Glenn Gilbo, Outkick.com, their SEC columnist, coming up here in just a few minutes to break down Texas A&M and Arkansas. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to catch up with Adam Sparks, Knox News, Florida and Tennessee, another huge matchup. See where the Vols stand, and also can Florida prove to be a legit contender in the SEC East this year and build on that performance against the University of Alabama. But now it's time for College Football Headlines 365.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
All right, real quick headlines here. Let's start number one. College Football Playoff Board not going to vote next week on a proposed 12-team format.
Yeah, that's interesting, no doubt. It looks like the SEC is not satisfied, Dan, with not having a four, at least, as they would say, at-large picks in the college football playoff. Right now, the way the system stands, nobody gets in automatically. It's four at-large. The SEC, that would only be two with an 8-team playoff. They want at least four to go forward, so they're not satisfied with an 8-team playoff, and there's still some things to be discussed with that 12-team playoff, no doubt.
Alabama top rusher Brian Robinson dealing with a rib injury ahead of their game this weekend against Southern Miss. Nick Saban ruling him as day-to-day.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, he kind of hurt himself on that long 23-yard run in the first quarter against Florida as Alabama jumped out to that big 21-3 lead. I thought he had the best game of his career in a Crimson Tide uniform. 85 total yards, two touchdowns. He's a guy that's waited his turn. If he can't go, Jace McClellan will definitely shoulder a bigger load for Alabama this weekend. But look for Trey Sanders, who we kind of surprisingly didn't see him. Of course, Nick Saban had some things to say about that yesterday. But Trey Sanders could see some extended playing time if they decide to lighten the load or hold out Brian Robinson Jr.
All right, so we talked about Ed Orgeron at LSU. A lot of people wondering about his future there. We've already seen a change at USC, Drew. How about a possible change at Miami? fans not happy with the job that Manny Diaz is doing. And according to Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, that the Hurricanes are reportedly already looking into replacements for Manny Diaz. That reported potential replacement candidates, if they do make a change, could include Mario Cristobal. Again, this according to Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald.
I'll say something about that. Despite the fact Mario Cristobal is a Miami native and he played for the Canes during their salad days, I don't think Mario Cristobal would take that job and leave Oregon, because he's got Phil Knight in his back pocket. He's got an athletic director he trusts. He just signed a contract extension. He's got state-of-the-art facilities in the Pac-12. A huge bone to pick is the facilities in South Florida and the commitment to football there. I think he would have severe doubts about it at Miami. I don't think he would go home. He left that Miami staff, don't forget, Dan, to go work for Nick Saban at Alabama. He had been hired on that staff to come back home and be a big part of rebuilding Miami football, but he left because he thought Tuscaloosa was a better opportunity. I think Oregon is a better opportunity than Miami. I don't think Mario Cristobal would take that job.
Yeah, you're in a better job right now. I mean, we talked about this the other day on the show too, Drew, where I said Miami is not going to be anywhere close until they have their own stadium. You've got to get out of Hard Rock Stadium, and you've got to be able to build your own facilities and be able to, at least if nothing else, show not only coaches but also players and prospective players that you're committed to doing this. They're committed to doing it at Clemson right now. They're committed to doing it at North Carolina. They're committed to doing it at Florida State, even though the results have not shown there. I'm not so sure that I'm getting that same commitment from Miami. Here's an idea, at least for the meantime, until you get that plan formally formulated. Play at the Marlins Park. Play at the Marlins Park. You're closer to campus there, and do that. And at least if nothing else, I understand that that's bad memories for some people in terms of the Orange Bowl being in that, where that spot used to be. But still, be closer to campus. Going all the way out to Miami Gardens is not good for this program.
Well, and if you're going to hire a coach, the guy that I would go after, but I think Nebraska could be in line to hire a new guy. They could go after him. I would be pursuing him if I was USC. But if I'm Miami, I pursue Hugh Freeze. That's who I want, because Hugh Freeze, in the middle of the state of Florida, with that talent around him and his ability to build offense, and Miami is like the Florida Gators and the Florida State Seminoles. They need an offensive guy to sell tickets and build their fan base, and I think Hugh Freeze would be the right fit for Miami, and I think they could, with a $5 million a year offer, have a chance, and some facility promises, get Hugh Freeze.
I like it. I like it. Those are headlines.
Great stuff. Well, we're going to take a break on the Chuck Oliver Show, Southern Sports Today. When we come back, more a college football conversation with Glenn Gilbo, Outkick.com, SEC columnist now for them. And we're going to talk some Arkansas and Texas A&M, the biggest matchup, in my opinion, of the weekend in the SEC. And Glenn Gilbo is going to break it down for us next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Welcome back to the Chuck Oliver Show, Southern Sports Today. I'm Drew DeArmond sitting in for the king of college football, Chuck Oliver. It's an honor to be here with you. Best college football talk in the country, and maybe the best game of the weekend, in my opinion, the matchup. Most intriguing, Arkansas Razorbacks in Jerry World taking on the Texas A&M Aggies. Really, it's turned into a top 16 battle. We're going to see if Arkansas is really legitimate, I think, in this game, and then if Texas A&M is a true contender in the SEC West, which means college football playoff contender, SEC championship contender, that we need to see the growth of Zach Calzada. And who better than to help us break it down now in his new role? I mean, he's been around many, many years. I can remember when he covered the Alabama beat for the Mobile Press Register. He covered LSU for many years with the Advocate in Baton Rouge and USA Today. Now he's with Outkick.com as their SEC columnist. He's off from a trip from Gainesville to see Alabama, Florida. Now we'll be in attendance for this Arkansas-Texas A&M game. That's Glenn Gilbo. Glenn, Drew DeArmond, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
Hey, Drew. Hey, man, you're going way back to when I covered Bama at the Register, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, I'm a guy that's been a voracious reader of beat writers since I was a kid. So I read your stuff back then, and of course I followed you as you've covered Ed Orgeron and LSU, and of course Les Miles, a lot of success for the Tigers and winning some national championships. And now in your new role at Outkick, congrats on that. I guess before we start the conversation into this matchup, what were your initial thoughts after you saw Alabama, Florida?
Well, I was a little surprised how Florida's offense really kept making Alabama's defense guess, had them going the wrong way, and just some really great play calling by Dan Mullen. And as Coach Saban said after the game, you know, Alabama was getting tired in that game. Even in the second quarter, after three straight three and outs by their offense, and the defense was on the field a lot, Alabama was holding their knees on defense in the second half. So that surprised me, but you know, just like the Alabama I used to cover in Mobile when Stallings was the coach, you know, they somehow pulled it out at the end. And that's kind of Alabama's MO historically. But, you know, they struggled a little more than I thought they would, particularly after it was 21-3. But but you know, and I know that Saban's going to use that to his benefit, and I'm sure that team's going to be a lot better over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's almost probably a better thing for Alabama, especially with this Amen corner they got coming up after Southern Mississippi and Will Hall. They've got Lane Kiffin coming back to Tuscaloosa, especially off that performance from last year where he pushed Alabama as well as anyone did. And then the trip to Aggieland, it's going to be already sold out, going to be very hostile with Texas A&M, hoping to be unbeaten when they play the Tide. But they got to get past Arkansas. This is a very intriguing matchup for me, Glenn. You've studied this series. It's not in a row for A&M, but a lot of those games were one-possession games that went down to the end.
Oh, no question. They had three overtimes and one four-year stretch there. Jimbo's won a couple of close games. And this is really a prove-it game, you know, because Arkansas looked great in that win over Texas. But, you know, Texas is – they kind of got that soft reputation. They haven't really been good in years. And their other wins are kind of easy teams, and A&M is really the same thing. You know, they were fortunate to pull out one in Colorado, and then they beat some other easy teams. And both teams have new quarterbacks. You know, KJ Jefferson, it looks like a great dual threat for the Hogs, and then Zach Calzada will be starting his second game after Haynes King got hurt. So it's really a prove-it Saturday in Arlington. We'll see which one of these two, you know, is the true contender. And I think it's going to be a heck of a game.
Yeah, and as you've studied Arkansas, I think it's a remarkable turnaround. I know it's just a little over a year, and they only went 3-7 a year ago, but I thought Arkansas looked like a much better football team. Sam Pittman, just like Dabo Swinney, he's never been a coordinator, but that doesn't matter sometimes. Sometimes you're a leader of men. Mario Cristobal, the same thing. He was a co-OC at Oregon before being elevated. But this football team is hard-nosed. They're physical. They're the same offensive line 2 years ago, Glenn, that was 293 pounds, now 317 for the Hogs. This is going to be a matchup that's going to be one in the trenches, and I think a fascinating one. This Arkansas team, to me, may be the most improved in the SEC, but we'll find out Saturday.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're an offensive line coach throughout your career like Sam Pittman has been, I mean, that's the next best thing to being an offensive coordinator. And I think that makes sense for him to move from that. And you know, they were only 3-7 last year, but they were very competitive. They could have beat LSU last year. LSU scored in the last minutes. But we're very impressed with them. And, you know, he lost his offensive line coach in June to LSU, and they have not had the same adverse effect as LSU has had since losing their O-line coach in June. I think that means Arkansas's got better offensive linemen. And, you know, Pittman's just kind of old school, genuine, and it's great to see a guy like that succeed. And you know, Jimbo's tried to hire Sam a couple of times when he was taking over at Texas A&M. So this is a really good matchup. I tend to lean toward A&M here. I think they have more overall talent and speed, but you know, I would not be surprised at all if Arkansas pulls it out.
Well, and talk about let's switch gears to Jimbo. They're having to reconfigure a little bit. They lost Haynes King after the first game, you know, just very, very early against Colorado. Zach Calzada got thrown into the fire. He was erratic a little bit, but we saw Mac Jones the same deal. When he was thrown in when Tua was injured, he didn't play nearly as well as when he had a chance to prepare. I know you've been, of course, studying it, talking to their coaches, watching the film. What have you seen out of Zach Calzada that you like? I've heard a lot of great things about his arm strength, but he's now settling in, coming off of a pretty solid performance against New Mexico. But this will be a different McCoy here with Barry Odom's defense.
Sure. And, you know, I think he's playing for the best quarterback coach in the country, and Jimbo Fisher, or one of them, if not him, Lane Kiffin. And you saw the improvement over Zach's first week when he replaced Haynes in the last week, easier opponent. But I think you'll see him continue to improve. I mean, Jimbo has had to get quarterbacks ready on the fly throughout his career, and I think you'll see that improvement from Zach. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but he's going to be a steady quarterback. And now KJ Jefferson, the Arkansas quarterback, I think Zach has the advantage because KJ is going up against a better defense. A&M is like number one in the nation in pass efficiency defense. They're number one in the nation in fewest points allowed. So they've been playing some stellar D there in Aggieland, which we didn't see much with when Kevin Sumlin was there before Jimbo. So I think that will probably be the thing that wins it out for the Aggies.
Well, and then I think that's the biggest change we've seen as far as impact with Jimbo Fisher. Certainly, Kellen Mond improved under his, tutelage as a quarterback, but really being able to hire Mike Elko and being able to retain him, that to me has been the biggest change in Aggie football. I thought before he got there, they were very soft on defense. It's been quite a transformation in the 2+ year, really now three, for Jimbo in that defense.
No question. I mean, you're looking at probably the two of the best defensive coordinators in the country, right? Elko and Odom going against one another. So that's going to be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Glenn. That's going to be probably the matchup to watch. Which defense can be the most disruptive? Which can force the most turnovers? That's going to change this game. But I've got to ask you, too, the offensive line has been a concern for Texas A&M. What about that? That's been LSU's biggest bugaboo so far. The Aggie O-line, though, with four new starters, has struggled a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, that's where Jimbo comes in with his play calling and having to get the quick snaps and a finesse game, misdirection and so forth, and establishing a running game, which is something else he likes to do. You know, Jimbo's known as this offensive guy, but he's got a lot of old school in him. That's why he went after Elko at first, and he's always trying to establish that run game and play action pass. It depends how talented the linemen are, because LSU returned five starters from their offensive line, but that hasn't been good news this season because they're just not that talented. And I think the loss of their offensive line coach, James Craig, too, has impacted them. And they've lost their Rosenthal, Cam Wire, the left tackle is hurt. They don't know who their left tackle is going to be right now. But I would say from what I've seen, even though A&M has some new starters, I think their O-line is better than LSU's right now. But both are, probably below average.
Yeah, well, Glenn, we appreciate it. It's going to be a big game. Look forward to your coverage from OutKick.com. The Hogs and the Aggies taking on each other. It's going to be the CBS Showcase game, and Glenn Gilbo will have full coverage. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Next week, Ole Miss Bama.
Going to be a great one, no doubt. Could be another shootout in Tuscaloosa. Glenn Gilbo, great to catch up with him. Great to talk some college football on College Sports Today, the Chuck Oliver Show. We'll be back with more great college football conversation.
It's week 4 in college, week 3 in pro football. Let's get you ready to make some money. Hi, I'm Dan Matthews, and let's take a look at the odds brought to you by BetUS.com. Notre Dame and Wisconsin in Chicago. The Badgers giving 6.5 to the Irish. Wisconsin -240 on the money line. Notre Dame +200. Over under 46. Missouri is at Boston College. Whether they like it or not, Tigers are favored by 1.5. Over under is 58. North Carolina against Georgia Tech in Atlanta. Tar Heels favored by 12.5. Heels are -500 on the money line. Jackets +400. Over under is 63.5. LSU is at Mississippi State. Tigers favored by 2.5. They are -135 on the money line. The Bulldogs +115. Over under is 56.5. Texas A&M and Arkansas in North Texas. Aggies favored by 5. They are -210 on the money line. Hogs +175. Over under is 47. Let's take a look at the NFL. The Saints are at the Patriots. 1 o'clock kick there in Foxborough. Patriots are favored by 3. Money line is -150 for New England. New Orleans is +130. Over under is 42. Bucks at the Rams out in LA. Tampa Bay favored by just 1 point. The over under is 55.5. Monday night, the Cowboys hosting the Eagles. Dallas is a 4-point favorite. They are -190 on the money line. Philly +165. Over under is 52. Who wants to make some money? You can do it easily when you enter the following promo codes when you sign up at BetUS.com. How about SST125? With this promo code, you're getting 125% of a sign-up bonus. For example, you deposit $100, they're giving you an extra $125 extra. How about SST200? When you use cryptocurrency, that means 200% on a sign-up bonus for crypto deposits. For example, that crypto deposit is $100. You're getting an extra $200 to your account. America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. It is BetUS.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Welcome back to the Chuck Oliver Show, Southern Sports Today. And we've got our next guest with us, ready to talk some Tennessee, Florida. As we said earlier in the show, it's going to be great to catch up with this guy. For many, many years was on the Vanderbilt beat, did an outstanding job for the Tennessee. And now with Knox News covering the Tennessee Vols, and, of course, he's a newlywed as well. Congratulations to him. And that's Adam Sparks, and he's now with us to talk some Vols and Gators. And that will be a 6 o'clock game on ESPN. Adam, great to catch up with you. It's Drew DeArmond in for Chuck. How are you?
Yeah, hey, Drew, how are we doing? Good to hear from you.
Yes, man, absolutely. It's great to have some college football with you on this Thursday. No question about that. Tennessee coming in 2-1, but this is going to be their biggest test of the season against a Gators team that really opened some eyes playing Alabama last week. Tennessee, where are they right now, Adam? Is Hendon Hooker going to be the QB? I know they say Joe Milton has returned to practice. What seems to be the vibe around the program and the quarterback position right now?
Yeah, sort of the inside jokes around the UT beat is on Josh Heupel's sudden illness. He's been this week. He's been had a scratchy throat, been coughing a bunch through all his press conferences and interviews. He just got a cold or something, but the inside joke is that he knows what's coming in SEC play. He knows his team probably needs a little bit of work, and that's affecting his sleep and his health. I think the quarterback situation is probably at the top of that list of anxiety for him right now, because you want to know your quarterback. For Josh Heupel, who has made his career out of being sort of a quarterback whisperer, so to speak, I don't think he has he doesn't have good options right now. He only has, bad to subpar options, and he's trying to find the best of those options right now. If I had to guess right now, I'd say Hendon Hooker is probably the starter in the swamp. Joe Milton set out the game last week against Tennessee Tech, had a leg injury 2 weeks ago against Pitt. Hooker started, was good against a bad opponent, had 4 touchdowns, 3 passing, 1 rushing. Still had some hiccups, though, offensively against a team that they should have had no hiccups at all. Milton is supposedly, practices are closed, but Josh Heupel said he's practiced some. And today he said he's leaning towards using only one quarterback, not two. So that makes me think it's Hooker, because I would think Hooker would at least play some in this game, if not all. So the fact that he's saying he doesn't think he'll use two quarterbacks tells me that Milton may not be completely available, because I just don't see him using Milton 100% and not even considering using Hooker.
Yeah, and Hooker has at least been a little more efficient. The knock against Milton, it was the same thing at Michigan. It's been so far the body of work we saw at Tennessee is not being able to connect on the deep ball. The schemes look like they're working for Josh Heupel. They're getting guys open at him, but they're leaving points on the field due to not being able to connect and make big plays vertically.
Yeah, and Hooker even missed some of those too. It's just that he missed less of them, I guess. In the first game against Bowling Green, I think we counted 5 deep balls that were all overthrown by Joe Milton. And then Hooker's start against Tennessee Tech last week, I think he overthrew 3 and connected on 1, maybe, and then another one was on target but dropped. So, at this point, you're just on open, and I don't mean just deep passes, period. I mean open deep passes where a receiver is getting behind the secondary. He's open. If you can throw the ball accurately, it's a touchdown. They've missed on probably, counting all 3 quarterbacks, they probably missed on about 9 of those so far this year. I mean, one of their receivers, Cedric Tillman, right now should have about 5 touchdowns at least this year in 3 games, and instead I think he has 1. They're just missing on those. Hooker has missed on fewer of them. But it's a big frustration for Josh Heupel, as you can imagine, because this is a guy just like every really good offensive play caller in college football, in the conference. Take Lane Kiffin, for example. Lane Kiffin is a guy that we've seen in the past where he will draw up a play, he'll set it up with a series of plays, and he will see it open. We've even seen it on TV before, right, where he'll raise his hands up on the sideline at the snap of the ball, because he knows this is about to be open, this is a touchdown. Josh Heupel's drawing up those same plays. setting it up with the whole series of plays. It's wide open. It should be a 50, 60-yard touchdown, and the ball's overthrown by 10 yards. That frustration is, I think, is mounting. And if you miss on those shots, you're not going to have a chance in the swamp.
Well, and then let's go to the other side of the ball. Tennessee, their defense was decimated. We know they lost Henry Toa to Alabama. They had so many guys enter the portal and leave. They did add Brandon Turnage from Alabama, the defensive back. But this defense did struggle against their one quality opponent, Pitt. Of course, Pitt turns around and loses to Western Michigan. So is this Vol defense where about we thought it would be, and how does it match up against what looks to be a Florida team? It's a different offense than a year ago. It's more ground and pound, but still looked very potent against Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, the identity's still being worked out a little bit, I think, on this defense. I do like the intent of the defense. The intent is to bring pressure, not to sit back, but to bring pressure. They want TFLs. They want sacks. And they'll bring extra guys to do that. Now, the execution of it and the personnel to pull that off, I don't think is quite there. But I do like the intent. I like the start to three games. But now we're going to see a whole lot more if how much they can carry that along in SEC play. I mean, these things can be deceiving. They're giving up something like 60 yards rushing per game. Really good rush defense on paper. But they're about to face Florida that rushed for about 250 yards on Alabama. So, what they've been good at, they haven't really been tested at that much. Against Pitt, they bottled up the run pretty well, under 100 yards. But they faced a quarterback that could get out of the pocket and do some things with his legs, scramble, and that beat them pretty bad. They gave up 41 points. They're not going to necessarily have that same type of quarterback with Florida or either of those quarterbacks, Richardson or Emory Jones, but those are guys that can really, really run. And so this is a big test. If they can keep those guys contained somewhat, I think there's a whole lot of hope for this defense. If they can't, then you probably had fool's gold out of a few good games early in the season against non-conference opponents.
And we're talking to Adam Sparks, Knox News, last few minutes with him. Adam, I've been kind of wondering, scratching my head the same. He transferred from Michigan. He was a five-star prospect. I expected him to make a big impact for Jeremy Pruitt's Vols. And now we've had a coaching change. Rodney Garner, a quality defensive line coach. But what has happened to Aubrey Solomon? He seems to be missing in action.
Yeah, he has played one game, and that was against Tennessee Tech. Played well. Again, that's against Tennessee Tech. And, yeah, that was the number two defensive lineman in the country 4 years ago coming out of high school. And it's just not come together. I think he was a little out of shape. Conditioning was an issue when this new staff came in spring. You've at least heard hints from the coaching staff of, he needed to get rededicated, needed an attitude change. And, again, that's not Aubrey Solomon's side we're hearing. But, the coaches have said that. And the defensive line coach, Rodney Garner, said yesterday, he said, it is not a birthright to play just because you're at an SEC school. And so that's a hint at what they're dealing with Aubrey Solomon. But that's a 6'5", 330-pound guy who's athletic. If you can get what you need out of him, he needs to be on the field. He has been very little so far. We'll see if he is against Florida because they need guys to stop the run, that's for sure.
No question. And then if, in your mind, as you've watched this Vol team, I know you've studied Florida, how does the Tennessee Volunteers give themselves a chance in the swamp Saturday?
Well, they've got to strike early. They've got to hit some deep balls that have been open at least. You've got to get Florida into some third and longs. That's easier said than done. If you can get them into some third and longs, you can get the tempo going on offense. You can hit on some deep balls. You can get this score high, make it a little bit of a shootout, and you have a shot. I think the more you let Florida ground and pound like they did against Alabama, the further of a hole you're going to dig yourself into.
No question about it. Follow him at Adam Sparks, the Knox News. He will have full coverage from the Swamp, the Tennessee Volunteers, trying to pull the biggest upset early in the Josh Heupel era as they go on the road here in the SEC to kick off Southeastern Conference play. Thank you, my friend. Always enjoy the conversation, and we appreciate you for joining Southern Sports Today, the Chuck Oliver Show.
All right, good deal, Drew. You have a good one.
Thank you. That is Adam Sparks, and we are going to go on a break. When we come back, we will have more college football conversation on the Chuck Oliver Show, Southern Sports Today.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
I would love to play a regional matchup that was maybe more of a rivalry game that would be maybe a little bit more exciting to recruits to watch, you know, from a TV perspective or, you know, maybe we're playing in front of your family. I don't know the last time Missouri signed a kid from the great state of Massachusetts.
Back, the Chuck Oliver Show, Southern Sports Today. That's Elijah Drinkwitz talking about rivalries and just studying that and what Coach is saying. You know, there could be some very interesting matchups for the future. I know they've had an athletic director's change. Jim Stark no longer there at Missouri, and they're going into a new era with Elijah Drinkwitz. But think about it. They could take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. That would be a very interesting matchup with a bordering state. The Kansas State Wildcats. Who have a very solid program that, you know, Bill Snyder did such a great job rebuilding that program twice. I mean, that would be another interesting intersectional matchup. If Brett Bielema can get Illinois up and running again in the Big Ten, Missouri and Illinois, that's a huge college basketball matchup, but it could be a very interesting intersectional one in college football. I'm not even going to talk about Kansas because I don't know if Kansas football will ever come back. So I'm not going to waste time with that. But K-State, Iowa, Illinois, those could be some interesting matchups in the future. I just wonder if that may be something that Missouri pursues as, of course, we're going to see a lot of continuing change in the climate and the of college football and the landscape. But those would be interesting matchups to play if you're Missouri. And now we know the SEC is going to expand. They're going to have Texas and OU. But Mizzou, those are some out-of-conference matchups that I think would be very interesting and entertaining to the fan bases and in border states where Missouri can get some talent and continue to rebuild that program under Elijah Drinkwitz. I think, much like Sam Pittman, he's done a nice job getting that program back stable. They've got the young quarterback, Connor Bazelak, who I think is going to have a chance to be a four-year starter type guy that can really get that program going. They lost the tough game to Kentucky early, but they're still kind of under the radar. But I think Elijah Drinkwitz is an outstanding offensive mind. I like where Missouri football is headed, but in the future, those kind of intersectional matchups I think would be very, very interesting for Missouri and for the SEC, Dan Matthews.
Yeah, they would, and there's just a couple of things that I have an issue with this. Is number one, it's kind of, to me, what he said about being exciting for recruits. For, if I'm not mistaken, I think Jeff Hafley, the head coach at Boston College, did not take that part very kindly and had a pretty strong statement for him. What he said, I don't know. But the point is that part right there, if Drinkwitz wanted to or not, kind of feels like borrowing trouble. Remember last year, Drew, before the Sugar Bowl, the college football playoff, where it was the whole focus was Dabo Swinney's coaches poll and not having Ohio State ranked a certain amount. And then it led to Ohio State fans after Ohio State won chanting Dabo, Dabo, basically saying, hey, you know, you want to talk trash about us, then you come out here and you lose the game. You just borrowed trouble that you didn't need. And I know a lot of people came at Dabo the same way. I was one of them that said, why even stoke the flames as such? Why not just do the boring coach speak with that regard? Ah, we're excited about playing them. Great challenge. Ryan Day, great coach. All those different types of things. You've got the script. It's right there for you. The other part of it as well, too, is that if you're Missouri, you're not good enough to say, ah, we shouldn't be doing this right now. You're in the group with Mississippi State. You're in the group with Vanderbilt. You're in the group with, I mean, you know, I'm trying to think who else would be in the SEC that you look at and say, maybe Kentucky you throw in there as well.
South Carolina.
South Carolina right now, yes. That, you know, you can't be a good point, too, because they just played against East Carolina at their place. But you're in the group right now that can't say, oh, well, we're too good to come out there to Boston College and play you. No, you come play us, and maybe if we come play you, then we'll do like what Mississippi State did and play you at the Patriots Stadium, where, you know, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to go back and play UMass, and I assume they'll probably do the same thing. But still, it's one of those things that you don't get to dictate, hey, we're too good to do this. I think if nothing else now, I mean, that recruiting line right now, if you're Jeff Hafley, that is built in for your team to say, these guys think that they're so much better than you. They think that you're beneath playing them right now. So let's show them that how much of a mistake that was for that coach to say that during a press conference. I get what he's saying. I just think that the delivery was very poor.
Well, Dan, and you got to understand, too, this is they're flying under the radar, and the schedule hasn't been the most difficult, but this is a Boston College team that's 3-0 right now in the ACC and was picked in the preseason to be a good team under Jeff Hafley to make a jump into the upper division there. And really, for the ACC right now, they're holding the water because Clemson's still, I think, the best team, but they haven't looked impressive. I thought it was alarming the way they played against Georgia Tech, quite frankly, because that's not a good Georgia Tech football team. But right now, Boston College 3-0, though they had a big injury to Phil Dracovic, their quarterback, who's going to be out now for the season, it looks like. That could affect Boston College, and really is probably why the Missouri Tigers, I think last I saw, were a slight favorite in this game on the road.
Yeah, I believe 1.5 is what I saw for Missouri in this one. And, I mean, they've got the team. Defensively, I know that there are some concerns with what Missouri is bringing right now. I know that Steve Wilks working with that side of the ball. A lot of aggressive play on that side of the ball. So it's going to see how it serves them in this trip to Boston. To your point, though, too, I mean, like you said, 4-0, I don't think anybody's looking at Boston College and saying, oh, wow, you know, a team that has a chance to maybe jump up and contend in the ACC. I think if nothing else, they're just looking for capable play out of them. But if you see a Boston College team finish this year 8-4, 9-3, something along those lines, if nothing else, it gives Jeff Hafley options. It gives him options where people are going to start looking to him and saying, if he can win at Boston College, what can he do with us? Or it's for him to say, hey, guess what? Transfers out there or college kid or high school kid who was maybe a little overlooked and we feel like we can develop in this program. You can come up here and we can win and we can compete and go for the ACC.
Well, the ACC needs Boston College to be good because right now, Florida State, after that strong showing against Notre Dame, it has been an abomination. I thought they had already hit rock bottom in Tallahassee, Dan, but I don't think they have yet. It raises questions about the future of Mike Norvell already. I know they're still paying off Willie Taggart. That ended up being a disaster of epic proportions. I know he's now at Florida Atlantic, but with where Florida State is and where Miami is, and we already discussed earlier in the show that they could be mulling a coaching change with Manny Diaz. The ACC right now is in big trouble, and I think that's why on the ACC network they're already talking basketball.
Yeah, I mean, because North Carolina with that early loss to Virginia Tech, I mean, now it's kind of like what we talked about earlier with LSU. They've got an opportunity to be able to make good on that this weekend in Atlanta against Georgia Tech, a team that I think is gaining confidence, but still, you're a better football team than even with your losses to the running back groups and the receiver group there in Chapel Hill. But yes, this is a conference who, for all intents and purposes, a few years ago when Clemson was making their run, Florida State was still competitive, saying, hey, SEC, you're not as big and bad as you think you are. We're right on your tail. That lasted almost about a year or two, because right now it's not even close. I've talked about before, Drew, of having somebody at a bar once approach me and say, well, you know, the ACC has now, if nothing else, at least met the SEC, might even be better. I put my drink down. I said, I can't even engage you on that. That's so stupid to say. I mean, and it's even during what I just said right there, where Jimbo was at Florida State and they were at least competitive. Now they're not even competitive. I mean, you're exactly right. And if you're saying that rock bottom has not been hit yet, Drew, dang, man. I mean, I want to know what rock bottom looks like then, because we played the montage of the six turnovers that Mackenzie Milton, and not all Mackenzie Milton, that's not fair, but that Florida State had against Wake Forest. I mean, it almost sounded like a bad partner move. It almost sounded, and to me, I imagine in my head, like the part in the movie Miracle when they start to zoom in on Jim Craig after all the goals to the Soviet Union there. That's what it kind of felt like to me with Florida State. And it's like, that can't be Florida State. I can't allow it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just want to know who the Seminoles going to beat, because once the Jacksonville State win happened, and it was huge for my state here in Alabama for them to pull that off, but to me that was just like the backbreaker for Florida State football, at least for this season. I mean, and then the uninspiring performance against Wake Forest, and then you look. I mean, how when Miami and FSU play, are there going to be two dogs and a cat in the stands? I don't know. I mean, it's the battle of the inept.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it looks like.
Well, I mean, we at least know that Miami's successful with the cat one time this season. So I think this one, though, is in Tallahassee. So hopefully no dogs involved with this one, because, you know, we don't want anything bad to happen to dogs. But I get your point, though, man. I mean, how weird is it, Drew, if you went back to, say, the year 2000 and you told a fan, Florida State, Nebraska, Tennessee, USC, Miami, they're going to be garbage in 2021. I mean, can you imagine even trying to explain that to those people?
I would feel like I was in the Twilight Zone, but luckily today I was in the hot seat hosting Southern Sports Today, the Chuck Oliver Show. It has been a true honor to talk college football with some of the greatest people in the world. And for everybody, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed our guests, Adam Sparks, Glenn Gilbo, outstanding conversation, Shay Dixon. Dan, you run a great ship here, man. I really enjoyed the time, really enjoyed being with you guys. Going to be some great college football this weekend. Enjoy it. Welcome back to Chuck next week.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.